and set sail with the Ken Dodd Show. Here he comes with his blooming big baggy blue bell bottoms blowing in the balmy breeze as he bounds aboard his British-built battleship, swaying slightly, smiling stupidly, and singing snatches of saucy sailors' songs of the sea. The Navy's number one nut, Rear Admiral Nelson Dodd.
Hello! Hello, shipmates! Hello, shipmates! Shipmates are mine! That ship's cat's not well. Are all the men mustered?
Ooh, I'll say they are.
Weigh the anchor.
15 tons, 300 weight.
Good lad. Lay to. Are we ready for action, shipmates?
Aye!
Ready to prove that Britain still rules the waves?
Aye!
Ready to fight till there's not a man left standing? Ah, see. So that's the way, is it? They've all popped off and left me poised on the poop looking a proper pilchard. Still, it's like Shakespeare said, how sharper than serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless crew? So, to the lot of you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, without being too bunchified, if you've listened to our show before, you'll probably know that the cultural level is about as high as Jimmy Clitheroe's kneecap. And here is a recording. And here is a recording made during a sit-down strike at a knitting needle factory.
Ooh!
Ow!
Ooh!
Oh, see, you've made your point. Now, with that, he hastily donned his tap shoes, borrowed 5 bob, and did a Fred Astaire via the side window. By Jove, what a beautiful day. What a beautiful day for slipping a ferret in some old man's back pocket. Here, just look at those very old books in this second-hand bookshop. Those books on the top shelf must have been there sometime. Look, they're all covered in dust. Gaffer.
Yes, sir?
How much are those dirty books on the top shelf?
They're 9 pence each, sir.
Oh, I'll take the lot.
Looking for something a bit...
Oh, I've been after this one for years. The Beano Annual. What will I do next? I know. I'll go in this telephone box and ring up 999. 999.
Yeah? This was the German embassy?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong number. What a nice man. He called me a Schweinhund. Oh, well, there's nothing much doing. Hey, where's that music coming from? Oh, it's coming from this Paladi dance. What does he say on the board? Diddy people's old-time dancing. Diddy people's... Oh, I'll have to clock this one. I must go in here. Oh, just look at all the little diddy people dancing to the music of Victor Shortvester.
Doddy me boyo. How you diddling? How you diddling me old tater? Welcome to the hoolie. We're having a smashing time, be dad. A smashing time we're having, aren't we, Granny?
Oh, dear. Oh, dearie me. It's too much for me. Me bunions are giving me jip. Giving me jip, me bunions are. Oh, they're killing me.
On your feet, Granny, me darling. Have this dance with me. That's it. Hoo-hoo-hoo, hump-a-bum. Hoo-hoo-hoo. You're a lovely dancer, Granny. A lovely dancer, so you are.
Oh, dearie me. I'd much rather... Oh! Young fella stepped on me perishing bunion.
I'm terribly sorry, madam. It was an accident.
And sure, there'll be another accident in a minute. It's the back of me hand you'll be getting. I'll marmalize you. I'll marmalize you.
Hey, no, none of that. Come on with the dance. Forward, back, together. Forward, back, together. That's right. Tatty bye, diddy people.
Tatty bye, diddy.
Tatty bye. There we go. Tatty bye. Tatty bye, diddy people. Is it? It isn't! It's not me! It is!
Ah, my bonny wee laddie. My name is me, Johnny Laurie, much loved and respected Scottish actor, and...
Here he comes!
Dean of Invercockerie University, without portfolio.
I'll see if I can get you a plastic one. Just for the time being. Sir Johnny, how did you come to get a job like that in a university?
Oh, I'm a Bart.
I thought so. I'll bet a job like that keeps you very busy.
You should see my agenda.
Not just now, if you don't mind. Anyway, the best of luck in your new post.
I shall serve the university according to the Invercockerie motto, which says, quite simply, Ye will I walk to Askebach, garzoni shachle ram fiesel crookie, craw like a randy rachlin fechter.
Which roughly translated into the nutty ass Gaelic means, if the cold winds of life, they make you wilt, tie a knot in the end of your kilt.
Quite right.
Well, what do you know?
Did you know that Prime Minister Gladstone had a mania for changing the labels on jars? He was finally cured of this unusual habit one night when he had crumpets and ointment for his tea. Did you know that Wallace Eaton is an untouchable? He wouldn't give you a light.
Well, what do you know?
Did you know that Queen Caroline of Brunswick was the only English queen ever to crown her own husband? After the crowning, she said...
And I will crown him again next Saturday, if he's coming in at this hour.
Jawohl, Mrs.
Well, I've got a little piece of information that should please just about everybody. Did you know that we've got one of the most popular groups in the country as our guest for this week? Brian Poole and the Tremolos.
Swept and I'm wrinkled and gray, but that lucky old sun's nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Not a thought of finding it drops in my eyes. Send down that lightning through me to paradise.
Lucky, lucky,
show me that river. Take me across,
love.
Wash all my troubles,
love.
Away. But that lucky old sun's nothing to do but roll around heaven all day.
Hello, all you do-it-yourself maniacs. This is your old do-it-yourself chum, Andy Mann. Now, I'll not keep you a minute. I just want to finish connecting this 500-volt cable to the wife's corsets. Lovely. She always wanted central heating. As a matter of fact, the wife's asleep in a heap at the foot of the stairs. I must do something about that stair carpet. Now, for this week's little job, I'm down in the cellar. By Jove, there's a few memories stowed around here. Good gracious me, that old army battle dress. The Pioneer Corps. It's the wife's mother's. She was a corporal. That reminds me, the old battle axe is staying with us this weekend. I must get half a pound of canary seed and a bag of sand for her box. Actually, you might have seen the wife's mother last week. She was on the telly in one of those quizzes. Is. Oh, I was really pleased for her. She won half a chewed donut. Now, where was it? Oh, aye, this week's little job. Now, you don't need me to tell you that I... Oh, dear. Dearie me. I've clean forgotten what I came down to the cellar for now. What was that job I had to do? I can't think. Never mind. I'll get my old pipe going and it'll soon come to me. I'll just light up... Oh, I remember what the job was now. That gas leak.
Philip will be home soon. What shall I give him? What's that, darling? Nice stew made with a beef cube. Do you think Daddy will like that? Oh, all right, if you say so, that's what I'll make him. I asked Baby what to make for supper, Philip, and she said stew. Do you like it, darling?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me just a minute.
Get the strength of the insurance companies around you.
Ooh, this blade's hopeless. I just can't get a decent shave.
Ah, try one of these. It's a Doddleson's sword edge.
And will it shift this tough stubble under my nose?
Of course, it's the sharpest blade in the world. Try it.
Right.
I suppose you think that's funny.
What is a tummy? If you're a middle-aged man, a tummy is something that goes around corners before you do. When you come home at night, as you enter the living room, it traps the family in the corner. A tummy is one of nature's miracles. It can even tell you the time of day. When its shadow gets halfway up your leg, it's tea time. A middle-aged man gets very conscious about his tummy. He looks at himself sideways in a mirror, and he says, I'm definitely going to get rid of that. Next day, he sells the mirror. When his tummy reaches this stage, he decides to take it to the doctor's. He goes to the doctor's waiting room, and he places it on a couple of chairs. The doctor tells him that he's suffering from acute whopperitis, and he recommends Doddy's Tiny Tummy Tablets, known to the medical profession as Doddy's Diaphragm Tonic, or DDT. After only one course of Doddy's Tiny Tummy Tablets, this group of middle-aged gentlemen said,
this could be the last time. This could be the last time.
In the waiting room of a large hospital, two patients get into conversation.
He's a magnificent doctor.
Absolutely brilliant.
It's amazing when you realize both his kneecaps are completely bald.
I never knew that.
Oh, yes. The whole family's the same. His brother has been performing in the theater since 9:30 this morning.
He must have the constitution of a lion.
He's a specialist.
I should think he would be by now.
Both his parents are osteopaths.
Foreigners.
I think so. His wife works with him in the hospital.
Oh, how delightful.
She's his sister.
I wonder if I could have a drink of water.
That's her coming out of the staff room now. The one with the lancet under her arm.
The poor woman. She must be in agony.
His wife told me that she thinks in time he'll become an FRCS.
Will he? The swine.
Ah, he wants you now. He's beckoning you into the cubicle with him.
No, I can't let him examine me after what you've just told me. I must leave.
I'll come with you, Miss Nightingale.
On the stage of the National Theatre, eminent actors are rehearsing one of the most moving plays of our time.
Now, this scene is one of the most tragic scenes in the British theatre. You are a devoted knight of the king, and he has chosen you to do combat against the fierce infidel. Act 2, Scene 2.
Where's me shirt?
Where's your what?
Where's me shirt?
I don't know.
I can't find me shirt anywhere.
I don't know.
I can't prepare myself for mortal combat against a wicked infidel without my shirt on, can I?
What's the wicked infidel?
He's a baddie.
Oh.
They get their swords and chop people's ears off and cut their tongues out.
That's nice.
I'm still looking for me shirt. I'm a shirt short.
You might have left it in Sherwood Forest.
I didn't have my shirt on in Sherwood Forest. When I was in Sherwood Forest, I wore green trousers, all tight on my legs.
Oh.
Honestly, you're nauseating sometimes, you are. Sickening. Where's my shirt? I had it when I came to London.
It might be in the bloody tower.
It might be in the flipping moat for all you care.
You had a look in the turret?
Certainly not. You don't keep shirts in turrets. Don't talk soft. Are you going to help me look at my shirt? Or are you just going to sit there?
I've got to finish the embroidery on this tapestry.
Let's have a look. Mm. Ooh, that's nice embroidery. It's lovely embroidery, doesn't it? It's King Arthur's face all over it. And hey, that's my shirt! I found my shirt now. Where's my lance? I can't find my lance anywhere. I won't stand a chance without my lance. Where's my shirt?
Everything you say, come to me when you really want a friend. Count on me until the end. Yours in every way. All of us need a little guiding star. I'll be yours, shining everywhere you are, near or far, just come to me, to the love that lives for you. There'll be tender kisses too when you come to me. All of us need a little guiding star. I'll be yours, shining everywhere you are. Far, just come to me, to the love that lives for you. There'll be tender kisses too when you come to me.
One of those people who can't knock a nail in straight, you should have a lot of sympathy with this collection of gentlemen. You name it, they'll wreck it. Well, they're the world's worst. Men like Sid Doddy, the world's worst door-to-door brush salesman.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, I'll try this out here.
Yes?
I wouldn't buy one of these brushes if I were you, missus. All the bristles come out.
Right.
And Horace Dudley is returning to his seat in a darkened cinema with an ice cream for his girlfriend.
Excuse me. Excuse me, please. God, can't you flip your finger? Oh, there you are, dear. I got you a choc ice. But you've got to give me a big kiss first.
If you don't mind, I'm trying to play the organ.
And a worried patient listens to the wisdom of Mr. Doddleberg, the world's worst psychiatrist.
Now, let us get this quite clear. Let us get this quite clear, Mr. Edwards. You said that all this trouble started some 6 months ago when you started counting sheep so you could get off to sleep. Now, what exactly is your trouble now? I see.
And in his sumptuous West End ladies' hairdressing salon, we see the tall, elegant figure of André Le Dard.
Ah, yes. The more I look at your face, the more I am convinced that I should let your hair hang loosely over your shoulders. Yes, with perhaps a small kiss curl over the right eye and maybe a blue rinse. I don't know. Maybe a blue... Oh, yes. On you, it would look most attractive.
Maybe, but I've come to read the meter.
On the 8th of August, 1963, the greatest train robbery in history took place. And as the crooks made off with their haul to the hideout at Leatherslade Farm, little did they realize that the operation was to be ruined by the unknown man. Who was this unknown man whose stupidity wrecked the almost perfect crime?
Good evening. I am the unknown man whose stupidity wrecked the almost perfect crime. I cannot tell you my real name. I shall just call myself Billy Ballpoint. That's my pen name. I'm a nursery farmer. I have a wife and 26 head of children. I remember the day of the robbery very well, because it all started as I was in my den.
Hector? Hector, where are you?
I'm in my den, Billy Bell.
That's not a den, it's a pigsty. Come out! Born idle, that's your trouble.
Yes, Lovey.
It's about time you pulled yourself together.
Yes, Lovey.
You want to do something about this farm? It's a disgrace.
Yes, Lovey. You can put me down now, Lovey. We're at the farmhouse. By Joe, I'm ready for me dinner, I know that.
And must that pig sit up at the table with you?
Just look at him, begging for bacon. You think he'd have more sense.
You think more of the pigs than you do of me?
Yes, Lovey. I mean, no, Lovey. Here, do you know that big white pig of mine, the one called Cecil? Mm. He surprised me this afternoon. He had piglets.
Don't talk rubbish. Switch the radio on. Let's hear the news.
Okay, Lovey.
Here are the main points from the news. A gang halted the Glasgow to London mail train early today and escaped with 120 mail bags containing banknotes. The exact amount missing is not yet known.
You know, I don't know what the worst... Hector! Hector, where are you?
I'm in the pigsty, Mirrybell.
I'm waiting to get into bed.
You can't sleep in here, Lovey. It's crowded already.
And when you come in, don't forget to scrape your boots.
You know I always scrape my boots before I get into bed, Lovey. And I did. Early the next morning, I took me pig, Cecil, out for a walk. As we trotted along, he wagged his little piggy tail. And then... as we passed Leatherslade Farm, I got the shock of my life. There was a big black car drawn up outside the front door, and there was smoke coming out of the chimney. I was very surprised. I'd never seen a car with a chimney before. At that time, I thought it were our new neighbours, you know, and I mean, thinking it was only polite and courteous to go and call on them, you know, bid them welcome and see if they had anything worth borrowing. Good morning.
Good morning. What a lovely little doggy.
Doggy? That's a pig. It's Cecil. Here, I've just called to welcome you into the... Oh, I say, just look at all those bags with GPO printed on them.
GPO? Oh, yes. GPO, yes. We are the Glasgow Pig Owners.
Yes.
These two gentlemen are colleagues and associates.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Colleagues, Mr. Associates. How do you do?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm very interested in pigs, you know. My great-granddad was a pygmy. What's in the bags?
Application form.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll take one and fill it in. Because, this is a £5 note.
A subscription from a Glasgow pig owner.
Oh, I see. Oh, I never thought about Glasgow pigs before. Still, it'd make a change. Tartan bacon. Yeah. What are you all wearing gloves for?
Gloves?
Pig bites.
Yes. Terrible big pig bites.
Oh, yeah. They're nasty things, those. A pig bit me once on the leg. Came up like a balloon.
Cool.
The pig, not me leg. By Jove, eat a lot of tin stuff here, don't you?
Unfortunately, we haven't been able to go out because of the pig bites.
If you do go out, lock up after you because there's a gang of robbers knocking about here. It was on the wireless before.
Our radio's broken.
You're in a bit of a mess here, aren't you? No radio, nothing to eat, all suffering from pig bites. I tell you what, I know somebody else. Can I use your phone?
No, I'd rather you...
I'll ring up Ben in the village, and he'll nip up here and fix that radio, and... Hello, Ben. Ben, can you come up to Leatherslade Farm, Ben, and mend a radio? Yeah, that's right. And Ben, bring a nice piece of boiled ham up with you for my friends here. Will you? Good lad.
Now, you've got nothing to worry about. You can relax, sit down, and take the weight off your tattoo. He'll be here in 5 minutes.
Man, you're very kind.
Lovely piece of board, huh?
Music warrior, work, yeah. And eat.
He's a very nice fellow, old Ben. Fixes broken radios, television sets, mends all the toys for the children.
He sounds a charming fellow.
He is. Do you know, he's one of the nicest village policemen we've ever had.
Please,
he's,
please,
he's
please,
too kind of a policeman, really.
Get out!
I mean,
come on.
No, what's to do? No, wait. No, listen, come back!
He's bringing the boil down.
But the boil... What did I say? No, come back here! Ah, well, I'll go and have my tea at home.
Hector, where are you?
I'm in the pigsty, lovey, counting the litter.
You and your pigs. I've had all I can stand. I'm going home to Mother. Goodbye.
Tatty bye, lovey. £2,300,410. £2,300,411. There's one for you, Cecil. Tatty bye, everybody. £2,300,410. Tatty bye.
Pendard, the only man to make a profit out of British Railways. Also being shunted into a siding until next week are John Lorry, Patricia Hayes, Wallace Eaton, Brian Poole and the Tremolos, and Judith Chalmers. With Doddy's Diddy Orchestra, leader Julian Guyard, conductor Malcolm Lockyer. The script was written by Eddie Braben and Ken Dodd, and the show, which was recorded, was produced by Bill Worsley.